there in the third stanza of that song, it says, never let me wander from thee, never leave the God I love. And we see that God's people would wander from him from time to time. And I like to begin over in Psalms 80. I like to read this psalm right here, Psalms 80. It says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come and save us. Restore us, O God, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it, caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its boughs. She sent out her boughs to the sea and her branches to the river. Why have you broken down her hedges so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? The boar out of the woods uproots it, and the wild beast of the field devours it. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see and visit the vine and the vineyard which your right hand has planted, and the branch that you made strong for yourself. It burned with fire, and it cuts down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. We see here, there about verse 8, it talks about the vine here. And of course, that vine would be Israel. Here is compared to the freedom of slavery from the Egyptians. And it says, God has cast out many nations, he has taken care of. And over in verse 12, though, it says, why have you broken down our hedges? We know that if we're God's children and we remain faithful to him, he will be like that hedge around us and take care of us. But it says here, he's broken down his hedges. And God was not providing the protection from them. It says on there, there it goes on, and it says it caused it to take deep. I'm sorry. It's not here. It says, so that, there at the second part of verse 12, so that all who pass by the way pluck the fruit. So anybody without God's protection, all these other nations, they could just come and do what they wanted to do to them. They could, of course, God said at first, if you abide my word, he said, I'll cast all these nations out. They won't be able to stand against me. But here, now, without his protection, they can come and do what they want to him. And it says that God was angry with them. It says there in verse 13 that goes along with our keys. It says, the boar out of the woods uproots it. We know these trees outside, these red buds, if you ever went out there and looked at them, well, not right up, the wind a while back took down a bunch of limbs. I think it took down one tree, maybe two. But, well, they're still there because the wind didn't destroy them, because their roots run deep. And you can see out, it might go from here to the door over there, you'll see little bitty tiny roots, little bitty tiny trees that's coming off the roots of these trees. Up there on the hill of that field, it's just lined up with them. And when we talk about that root, it means to remove a person from their home or their usual environment. Over in Exodus 17, verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. He was going to take care of Amalek, destroy him. In other words, he was going to uproot him. It says there, he was going to blot him out, just like he wanted to get rid of the Canaanites and the Philistines. He wanted to get rid of them because they was going to be a bad influence on the children of God. And also in Deuteronomy 28, there in verse 63, it says, and it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and multiply you, so the Lord took care of the Israelites when they came out of bondage. It's like we talked about there in Psalms 80. But so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you nothing, and you shall be plucked off the land in which you go to possess. So it says here they're going to be plucked away. If they're not abiding in God's word, he's going to get rid of them. And the same as we talked about the uprooting. If you put hogs around, just say they were in a woods, and you put them in there, well, eventually, a lot of those trees is going to die, because what that hog's going to do, he's going to keep burrowing down with his nose, and he's going to uproot the roots of those trees, and eventually it's going to kill them. And also over in 2 Peter, we'll look at another verse that refers to the hog. Second Peter 2:20-22. We might have hit on this a little bit one night. It says, for if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it and turned to the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog, we'll talk about dogs in a couple of weeks, says a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed her wallering in the mire, It don't matter how many times that you clean a pig, they're going to find water or mud or some way to get nasty again. And there's some reasons for it, as I'll talk about later, the reason they have to have this mud, the reason they have to have water. But as for us, knowing the truth, we got to be careful that we don't return to the sin that we came out of. Not only the sin we came up, some new sin that might arise. We've got to be on guard all the time that we don't, just like the pig going back to the mud, we can go back to into the sin easily. And a lot of people, they think it's hard to break habits, bad habits that they get into. Well, I can't do that. I remember I used to smoke, and Lee can tell you, when I give them up, that was a hard thing to do because it become a habit to me. And but just as I overcome smoking, other people can overcome other things as well. Alcohol, gambling, and many other things you can think of that you can overcome. And, sometimes a horse, and of course, if you go up by Chad Lars up there, you'll see probably about 50 to 100 up there. And not all of them broke, but there's a lot of them that's going to need to be broke. And and that's how a horse is, I ain't going to say every horse, but most every horse, they have to be broke to be rode before they're ridden. But there might be some horses that you just hop on and go and they'll take it nationally, but most of the time they've got to be broke. Dogs is something else. They need to be broke. Well, if one of my beagle hounds decide they want to run a deer one time, well, they're going to have to be broke from doing that. My coon hound, when he's out there, I want him out there running deer. I don't want him out there after a possum or a rabbit or something like that. He's out there to do what he was trained to do. And and as we talk about pigs, a lot of times how you break them from making that mess in the land and the crops, you'll take rings and put around their noses along the top, because that's what they use, the top part of their snout there. You see mud on that one behind his nose there. And they'll take them rings and put them around there. Now, eventually, the soreness will wear off. And it will deter them for a time. I'm not going to say it'll break, but it will deter them for a time. I remember when I was younger, there would be bulls, and they would try to get in with the other cattle in the other fields. And they'd have big rings in their noses. And on the end of that ring would be a big long chain. And most of the time they would have a hot fence around on the bull's side. So if he went up to that and hit that chain on that fence, then that's going to send a shock to him and he'd get broke from it fast. And when I think about broke, I know Steve brought this up last class. We think about the prodigal son there in Luke 15. And it, of course, through no one's fault but its own, It was his fault, the prodigal son's fault. He found himself living in a place that was not desirable. He ended up not only having a rebellious heart against his father, but it ended up, his fellowship would end up with the pigs. And he became so desperate that he longed for, as Steve was talking about, the husk. And he longed for the pig food that they were eating. He was in such terrible shape. And remember, at this time, he is pretty wealthy, but he wasted on riotous living, they say. And number one, he wanted to please himself. That was one of his faults. He wasn't going to be told what to do by his father, is another thing. He thought, and a lot of people think this, they think they can improve their lives by themselves. Well, you wait till I turn a certain age and I'm moving out. And he wanted to do what he wanted to do. He wanted to please himself. He found himself at the bottom of the barrel, you could say. And he realized that separating himself from his father put him in a polluted place. And also, we see he comes to his senses and he decides to go back and plead, go home and plead for mercy. And rather than rejecting his son like the son earlier rejected him, his father accepts him back. And I know we've all sinned and been separated ourselves from God and ended up in the so-called pig pen of life. And but we humbled ourselves and repented and was forgiven by the Father. Have you ever wondered why something might happen in the Bible at a certain time, or something, I'll get to this in a minute, something happens to you, you don't understand why it happened, but it does. We think about Moses. Why didn't God use him when he was in his 20s or up to, you know, his 40s? Why didn't he use him then? And he waited. He waited until he was 80. We know he goes on to help God's people out of bondage. But God might be saying, not yet. I'm going to use you, but not yet. And so, opening morning of turkey season, I always heard this guy say, if you've got gobblers over here and hens back here, all you got to do is place yourself in the middle of them. And when you do that, he said, it's locked. Yeah, there's nothing can go wrong. Well, he was wrong about that. And so anyway, I thought I had the perfect setup, which I did. I landed and I got in this fence row and was hid good. And when I was walking in, I heard about seven gobblers over in this woods. And a hen and some gobblers behind me in the woods, but they was pretty far over. They wasn't coming my way. And so I look up and I see these two gobblers come out. And they come about 15 yards. And they turn around and go back. I thought, what did you see? I said, you can't see nothing. It's the same place I was telling you where I seen the bobcat. Well, they decide, here they come. They're going to come right down the fence row. Well, there's a gap up there about, I guessed it at 50. And I was way wrong on it. It's about 72 yards. And a shotgun has got a kick to reach out. You know, if you were standing out there, I could probably pellet you at 100 yards. But I needed that turkey to be within, I'd say, another 12, 15 yards. So there was a gap here. And on this, the reason he was walking down this fence row was because there was a wheat field there. And turkeys don't like to get wet. And that wheat was on about 2 foot. So he wouldn't get in that. Him and his buddy come walking down through her. So instead of having patience, like the prodigal son should have had, I go ahead, I said, well, I'm going to take him if he gets to that gap. I'm not going to let him go through to the other side of the fence row and come down this way. Why? I didn't wait on him, but I did. And so I pull up and shoot, and I think it left half my heart out there somewhere. I don't know. But I think it's out there somewhere on the ground. But we see we need to...
Thomas.
Yeah.
Let me comment. So you're talking about like breaking pegs and in a way we have to be broken as well of our habits. Otherwise we return back to the sinful living. And in the Bible, whenever there's a put off, there's always usually a put on. You know, like Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. And then he lists some sins, right? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds. And then here's verse 10. Here's the put on. And have put on the new man, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So whenever there's a put off, there's a put on. If there's works of the flesh that are talked about, then there's fruits of the spirit that are talked about. And you know, when you think about your life and you're mentioning having to break free from this addiction of smoking, I remember back in those days, you started to take your Christianity seriously. You know, you started to actually put on the new man and to grow in the spirit. And that's the only way. We can do our best to try and help and encourage one to grow, maybe even have studies, but it's also a little bit like leading the horse to the water. You know, they're going to have the ones that have to want to drink. They're going to have to be the ones that want to say, I'm ready to put off and want to put on. And if we don't, then I remember that parable that Jesus taught of the man who got rid of the demon and didn't put anything in its place. The house was just swept, but nothing new came to reside in. And the demon came back with 7 others, and it was worse than it was before. And we've seen people like that before too. Make the right steps, the first steps, but then don't continue to push to grow, even with the helps that could be given, and they slide back into the sinful habits.
But you know yourself, not only the ones we withdrawn from, but there's been some, they just leave. They just leave and they want to go try something else or do something else, and basically they have to be withdrawn from too. And and I believe Mr. Ross brought this up, you know, they might not have been ready to be a Christian if their focus was not right at first. And they had lost their zeal or love for God, and they knew if they stayed, they couldn't do a certain thing. So they chose to go back. Anybody else? I got a few big facts we'll go over real fast, and then we'll head into the line tonight. We know that newborn piglets learn to run to the mother's voice by the time they're like 2 weeks old. And I'm sure baby calves, you know, even the mother learns them, learns the smell of them. Because in saying that, I know we would have these milk cows, and you would go out. Sometimes cattle would lose their babies, but if you wanted to raise some, you would have this good milk cow, and what you'd Now, most of the time you go in Holstein because her milk wasn't as rich as you say a Jersey. Because if you got a Jersey, their milk would be too rich for the babies to give them the scars. And I'll just throw this in, you can use Pepto-Bismol and let them drink it, and it'll help them with their scars and dry feet. But anyway, you go out and buy your baby calf, and you go into that mother cow, and sometimes she would accept the calf, and then other times she wouldn't. So what my dad would do, we had this head catcher thing, and he put feet in there, and he'd lock her head in, and she couldn't go no more while she was eating. And we'd take the baby up there and let it nurse, and then take it away from her. And then when she'd come in there to eat, and eventually she'd get used to it. And but we see the pigs at a very young age, they know, you know, their moms and stuff. And a pig can run up to about 11 miles an hour. Now that's pretty fast, like a burst of speed. Pigs, a while ago I was talking about the reason they be in the mud and the water so much. A pig doesn't have sweat glands like we do to keep them cool. And that's the reason they got a waller in the mud and the muck. It says a pig squeal is as loud as 115 decibels. Now that's about 3 decibels higher than the sound of a supersonic airline. And I don't know. I'd say pigs do squeal. Every time you go into a baby, just about every time you go in and pick one up, they squeal like everything. Because they want their mom to come and get them and stuff and think they're caught, but they'll squeal. Although we don't know what they're saying, they do vocalize. They do communicate in some ways through vocalization. And is more like a caveman or something, you know, caveman grunts or something like that. And they'll eat about anything. I believe I told you this other night, there was a farmer up in Oregon, and he was feeding his pigs, and he either had a heart attack, a stroke or something, and he fell into the pen, and they ate him. But they're supposed to be real high intelligent animals. They prefer to sleep next to one another, and in most cases, nose to nose. They huddle up to keep warm because, as you can tell, their hair is not real good. But like in the, I know my brother-in-law, he lived out toward, well, it was in, I think it was right on the edge of the Darrell, and they raised hogs. And they had this contract, and there was these big hog huts, and they might have been up as tall as the roof here. And inside that, they would have these sprinklers. And those hogs would stay in there, and that sprinkle, like I was talking about a while ago, they'd stay moist all the time under that water. And it was telling about stem cells were used from pigs to research human diseases. And I believe I mentioned that maybe the other night. They're on the Bahama Island. I got down Big Major K. I was going to look it up, and it was somewhere, and I didn't look it up which part of the islands. They said it was like an uninhabited, but these wild pigs, they live there, and they can swim different distances to other islands. And they have adapted to that and adapted to swimming because of that. And that's about all I had on pigs was their ichthyosis.
Yeah, the book gave me these thoughts. I was thinking about, I was talking about the time where Jesus healed the demon-possessed man in Mark 5, and how Jesus spoke with the demon, and the demon said, "My name is Legion, for we're many." Remember that? And then in verse 10, he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. And it says that there was a large herd of swine that was feeding there near the mountain. So all the demon begged him, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." So it was the request to go into the swine. So Jesus grants the request, and he gave permission, verse 13. So it shows that they were under his control. And then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. I remember, you know, in the past, you reading this, you know, there's great lessons to be learned from it. But I always used to think, you know, those people that owned the swine, they probably were a little upset. Their pocketbooks had been hit pretty hard by losing that much swine at one time. I knew it was an unclean animal, though, and there could be lessons in that. And then you think of how this man with the unclean spirit is now told by Jesus to go into the 10 cities, Decapolis, right, and tell them what has happened to you. So what we had said earlier about how this man was one way, and now Jesus gave him a new way, right? Put off and put on. And so now here he is telling people about the gospel, essentially, the good news of Jesus Christ, how uncleanness was cast out of him. But I also was thinking, too, that the news would spread among the Jewish community because they detested unclean animals and pigs. And this certainly would have been a humongous symbol of the unclean animals being cast out of the land. You know, so here Jesus bought that blessing, right? So yes, it hurt some of the Gentiles' pocketbooks, but there was a greater lesson to not only them, but especially the Jews, that Jesus has the power to cast out uncleanness. And the pigs have always seemed to resemble, or you know, symbolize uncleanness, being an unclean animal.
Yeah, you can't, I don't know about pigs. You know, like I was talking about those pot-belly pigs, they, you know, people try to take them and use them for, and keep them for pets and stuff. But, you know, it had to be rough, you know, because the bigger they got, and I'm sure, I'd say a pot-bellied pig, those pigs right there, they probably weighed, I'd guess around 40 to 50 pounds a piece. But a pot-bellied pig, they get a lot bigger than that, even though they are a little tiny. And I don't know if y'all, there might have been 2 or 3 years there, I can remember. I don't think I told you this. The pigs, they've never really been a very expensive animal. You know, I mean, the Americans eat a lot of pork, but they've really not been a big expensive animal. Cattle, it seems like cattle's always there. They're going to have their price, and they sell good, but pigs, they just don't, even today, the way it is, you can buy one pretty reasonable. And I remember me and Brandy Lee Hans up there talking the other night about I told Leanne, I said, you know, Leanne, I'll make this roast. And I said, you know, that sure don't taste like what Mom made. And she said, oh, yeah, it's roast, roast, it's roast. And I said, I don't know, it's got a different taste. And so what she was doing was buying pork roast because they were cheaper and they were bigger. And I said, I don't like pork roast. And so she started buying beef roast, and they were like, you could tell a whole lot of difference in them. And, I know as far as I can remember back, they've not been a real expensive animal. And I'll even if you got a cock giver.
Reason being, when we're at the time, growing time, you don't have to put as much into the growth of a hog as you do to a cow or other animals.
Yeah, I was talking about my son-in-law or brother-in-law. They would have to get these baby pigs. But of course, they would have to feed them and house them, vet them. And if you got 100 or 200 hogs, it's going to cost you to feed them. They might have had more than that, I'm not for sure. But anyway, these hogs, I lost my train of thought.
I'll give you another one. The other day, Justin was saying, I wish we talked about casting pearls before swine, so I'll honor his request there. In Matthew 7 there, verse 6, where Jesus talked about don't give what is holy to the dogs or cast your pearls before the swine, you know, this is again another illustration where the Lord is saying to recognize who it is you're before, you know, and that there's some people that will be unreasonable and not appreciate what it is that you're trying to do in trying to save their souls. And I've met those individuals before where the spirit is combative, it's argumentative, it's seeking simply to win that and not listen one iota to what it is that you're having to say or consider the argumentation for reflection. And so the Lord is, you think about with when he sent out the disciples, and he said, there's even a time where you have to kick the dust off your feet. You know, we're very concerned about trying to spread the gospel. But at the same time, we also need to be wise in our use of time to recognize when this person is definitely hardened their heart and they're not trying to actually find or discover, to seek and to find. They just want to fight and to argue, and don't cast your pearls before the swine.
They always have seems like they have an argument for what they're following. There's a woman in church, she said, I used to be a Methodist, and then I went to a Baptist church, and now I'm back with a Methodist. And another woman back there, she was a Pentecostal, and now she's a Lutheran. And I don't really know that much about Lutheran, but I'm about to, I might be an invitation. They have their own opinions. And there was one guy, he never would say Messiah. He never would acknowledge Christ, Messiah, or nothing. Now, Yahweh, he talked about Yahweh all the time, but he never would mention Messiah.
Yeah. I was just going to make another comment too. You were talking about that farmer in Oregon that had fallen into the pig pen and was just completely devoured and never really found much anything left of him, right? And I was thinking about how Jesus said there in Matthew 7 about how you don't cast this pearl before them, because not only will they trample the pearl, but they will turn and tear you in pieces. And I know that we always think of pigs as more violent animals like that, but it certainly underscores like their selfishness, that they're not so much interested in what would be a true value, but what they will look after is you and how they can consume you. And like we talked about already, that they can believe about anything, you know, so it's indiscriminate as long as it finds it edible.
Yeah, most of them, I don't know Next week.